came back from Ireland, and I'll be talking about that later. And in the studio is my co-host from Captivating Journeys, Kathy Takushi.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome
back. It's good to see you. It seems like a long time.
It was 2 weeks,
you know. Well, we did some pre-recording, so we had you on, and I was doing a lot of little interviews, which was, I've never done that before. I probably interviewed about 15 people in different places. It was really interesting, so I had little snippets here and there, and one longer interview with the general manager of the Dromoland Castle, which we'll do at a later date, but it was wonderful. We'll talk about that. A little bit of news, and it's a strange survey. I have to question it, really. I found a survey that was an expat explorer survey, and they did a study based on 2016, this year's results, the league table, and it's saying that expat, for best place for people to retire, or not necessarily retire, but to move to when they're thinking about that, is Singapore. It came in number one, New Zealand number two, Canada three, Czech Republic four, and Switzerland number five. Now, the weird part is down to in the 45th position last is Brazil. Right behind that, right before that is Egypt, and they had Italy at number 43. So it's kind of a strange one. You haven't been to Singapore, have you, Kathy?
I have when I was a child, so I don't remember anything.
It's a very nice city. I have to say it's they make it very expensive.
It's very clean.
It's very clean. They have some wonderful new environmental parks and things and shopping centers. But to drive a car and things like that is expensive. They get quite a high tax because they want to keep the traffic down in the city. So I don't know about that. I mean, I think a lot of people, when they think of moving to another place, maybe to avoid some of the high taxes in the U.S. and stuff like that, I think a lot of people think about places like I've heard Chile, you know, I've heard them talk about Thailand. People go to Thailand.
Costa Rica.
Yeah. Places like that. So I don't know.
Belize is a new one.
Belize. Yeah. Interesting. And other things in the news, Cuba is continuing to just boom. And American Airlines is flying there. And there's, I think, JetBlue is going to be in United soon. But the thing that's happening already is the hotels are doubling their fees. They're double what they were last year. I mean, they saw they were getting all booked up. So next thing you know, it's costing a lot more for hotel rooms. So a lot of people are thinking about like Airbnbs.
That's their biggest business now, the Airbnbs.
Well, yeah, because they're getting aced out of some places like New York and other places are cutting back because I think they think are a threat to the hotel industry. So, and some of them, I think that's hard for them to get taxes right. from Airbnbs. So, but so I was thinking about, you know, Airbnb might have taken a hit in some places, but in Cuba, it's really taken off, you know.
I was working on our friend Bill. You remember Bill that was in here? He's going back down there to get married.
Oh, is he really? What's his lovely girlfriend's name?
Not with her. He's from somebody from there.
Really?
he found a girlfriend down there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now we're getting into a little mini series. This could be a little drama going on there.
Hope Bill's not listening.
Well, we'll have to get reports, see if he's going to go down there and live then.
No, he's just going to go marry her and bring her back.
And bring her back. Well, then we'll have to have her in the studio to give us a firsthand account of. It'll be interesting because, you know, I mean, I still say I would like to go to Cuba. I would. I mean, but, you know, the best time to have gone would have been this year. And it's getting awfully close to the end of the year to try to make it happen right now. Although I think November's a good time. Certain parts of the year, you can get pretty rainy down there, you know. So, but I have to think about it. There's just so many places to go. Now, one of the deals we want to talk about, and we have a wonderful guest in the studio, Diane Lane, is joining us. She actually went on a Paul Gauguin cruise. The 14 days. So we're going to be talking to Diane about that in a bit. First of all, let's talk about some of the deals that you've got going now. The Paul Gauguin deal, I mean, as much as there's some good deals out there, we keep coming back to the Paul Gauguin cruise still being one of the best deals you can get for your money, for the quality of what you're getting. I still feel that, don't you?
It is. It's a really, especially if you're going to go down to Tahiti because it's so expensive. So if you get all your accommodations, your meals, beverages, including alcohol, gratuities, snorkel gear, all of that.
And it's really a beautiful, beautiful ship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's so classy. I mean, it's a 5-star ship, and the food is, oh my gosh, to die for the food. Oh my gosh.
We were just trying to find out the chef's name, and I couldn't find it.
the food was so good. And you know, it's just, it's a stress-free trip. I mean, I have to say, as much as I loved Ireland, it was stressful sometimes because of the driving and moving from place to place with the bags. You forget about that. I've done a lot of cruises lately, and you forget what it's like when you're lugging the bags and changing hotels and loading it up and unloading it. I mean, you do forget that that's a part, an element of it you have to consider. Although I have to say, in Ireland, I recommend definitely driving yourself if you can, because you can see things and take roads that you could never do on a bus, you know. So you have a lot more freedom to take the time and explore, which you can't do when you're on a tour. But I think the Paul Gauguin is just really, you've done so many sales on Paul Gauguin, and it seems like everyone loves it.
They do, and a lot of them are doing it for the second time. So
yeah. Well, you got a new deal that they came out with, and for next year.
Yeah, they just came out with an additional sailing, which is a 12-nighter, and that one they don't offer very often. But this one is Fiji, Tonga, Cook Islands, and Society Islands, and it's June 24th.
So you go 24. To Fiji first?
You fly into Fiji. And then you sail and end in Papeete.
That's very interesting, because they don't have a lot of Fiji trips.
No, they don't.
Wow. Yeah. Now, that would be interesting, because I've never been to Fiji. And Fiji's supposed to be another wonderful place to go. Mm-hmm. So let's go back over. Fiji what?
Fiji, Tonga, Cook Islands.
Oh, you get to go to Tonga. Huh.
And Society Islands.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. So it's 14 days.
12 nights.
Oh, it's 12 nights. You can do all that in 12 nights. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is,
you land up in Papeete on a
Wednesday, so you have to spend a couple days.
So, but what you can do is you could do a lot of things. You could spend the time relaxing there, or you could take the ferry right over. It's a very quick ferry ride over
to Moorea.
Yeah, I think it's what, half an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Ferry ride over.
And you could spend, I have a client who's going to do that, and then her husband always wanted to stay in an overwater bungalow, so he's going to get to do the cruise and the overwater bungalow.
I'd like to hear some reviews of that. I'd like to hear what they think. I mean, because they can be expensive from what I hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know some people that said they started about $1,200 a night.
I've seen them start around $5, depending on the property, $500 a night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's getting to the point. I have to say, at Drumoland, I did spend, it ended up being about $500 a night, but it was worth it. I don't mind spending, I don't like to spend that much, but if it's really a special once-in-a-lifetime experience, then it's okay, you know? You know, compared to what you get, right? On some places, if you try to do cheaper. And so if it's a special thing and they've always wanted to do a bungalow overnight water, it would
then
be kind of an interesting. Yeah, exactly. Plus, you'd be looking down at that beautiful, beautiful turquoise water, and it's so clear.
Mm-hmm.
It is so, the water's so clear that, you know, you can see everything going on. It's almost like you're in a glass fishing boat, right? And some of them, they have the floors where they have views that are partly glass and stuff, or you can look right down to the water below you. Which is kind of cool. I like that.
The fish. You can see all the fish.
Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So when's that cruise happening for going to Fiji?
June 24th of next year.
Okay. And that's going to be how much money?
Oh, balcony cabin starts at $35.95 per person, and a window $24.95 per person.
Okay. So they can contact you. A lot of people book in advance. I never do, because I just don't know my schedule a year in advance or something like that. But this isn't a year in advance anymore. So they can contact you at Captivating Journeys at 244-1414. That's 244-1414. Or they can go online.
CaptivatingJourneys.com.
And do you have any of the other Paul Gauguin cruises left for this year?
There is the 14-day in November 19th. There's still space. it's getting really, really tight. A lot of the mm-hmm. cruises, the 7 days for next year, they are closing them out because the there's a list of dates. I can try to get them, but
it's really, I mean, is it just about because it's almost sold out?
It's very limited availability.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what's left in the November, but nothing for November, the 7 days?
7 days for this year. No, I don't think there's very many.
Well, we tell people, we don't like, you're not pushy at all. Kathy's about the least pushy person that I know.
Pushy salesperson.
you are not. You're the antithesis of a pushy salesperson. But the reality is these deals are really good deals, and they do go. Too bad.
If you don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. If you don't want to be disappointed, you should do it. So there's one cruise left for this year. That was the two-week one.
The November 19th. Yeah. There is an October 8th sailing.
That's real close.
And an October 15th sailing.
Oh, there is. Okay.
I think there's still a few spaces left there, but mm-hmm. it's tight. So
better call
plus
right away.
Plus the airfare, at this point on Hawaiian Air is probably going to be, getting pretty tight too. So
well, it's always good to book a little in advance.
Because mm-hmm, there's only one flight a week.
Yeah. So that's, and I tell you, it's a nice way to go because having just come back from the 2 days and I was like, 6 hours goes by really, it's about 6 hour flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes really fast. Now you have to fly to Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
It can really be easy. I mean, for me, a 6 hour flight is nothing anymore.
It's nothing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get down there and then you provide the transport, over to the ship, right?
Mm-hmm. We take care of it with Paul Gauguin. And then you get off, after you claim your bags, just exit the baggage claim, there will be a person with Paul Gauguin sign. You get on the bus and off to the ship, and then off you go.
So call Kathy if you want. It's a very romantic cruise as well. I think it's very romantic because it's so beautiful, lush, the sunsets and the sunrises, and plus all the great food. So call 244-1414 and take advantage of these really, really great offers. Plus, that's not all you do. I mean, you do trips everywhere in the world, actually, if there's anything else people want to deal with or any trip they're planning, I know some people that actually start towards the end of the year to plan their vacations for the following year, and sometimes people give them as Christmas gifts.
They do, and we have gift certificates too if you want to give
that's
that
an interesting
as a
idea. I like that. I didn't mm-hmm. know you did that.
Yep, we do.
A nice idea. Mm-hmm. Wow. Just think it's a Christmas card and you open it up and it's okay. That's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's talk to Diane. It's really nice to meet you, Diane. Kathy was really excited one time. She says, someone who was listening to the show heard us talking about the Paul Gauguin cruise. And she called and she wanted to go. But I think we're Facebook friends as well, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So it's nice to create the circle here. And I think your husband's probably listening.
I think he is.
So we should give a shout out to him.
Hi, Ed.
He's home recovering from knee surgery.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it gets to that point sometimes.
Yeah.
So I hope he's doing well. It's always, it takes a lot of patience.
He is. He's doing well. I mean, he'll be a pain-free knee eventually.
He's an artist. He's an artist, isn't he?
He's an artist.
Yeah, very good artist.
So this trip was really special for us.
What? When did you do the trip?
We did it in June. No, July. July.
Midsummer, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the weather like?
It was beautiful.
Was it?
It was perfect. We had one rough day at sea, but other than that, it was just magnificent. And it's the views, the scenery, the people, the ship. I just can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, people think that we're just exaggerating until they do it, and then they see, my gosh, it's really hard to even describe how beautiful it is. That's right. Why I'm glad you could come in. So you hadn't ever been before.
Well, we had been to Tahiti in 2000, and Ed and I are very much independent travelers. We mm-hmm. don't do cruises. We don't do group travel very often.
Uh-huh.
We had a totally different view of the Society Islands because we drove. We went to each island and drove, and had painted a lot of wonderful work from that mm-hmm. trip.
It's pretty inspiring.
Oh, yeah, the people, the scenery, the the spires and the rock formations and the greenery, and it's amazing. But we were, this just appealed to us. 16 years ago, the Paul Gauguin, I think, was like 2 years old. It was built for Tahiti.
Yeah.
And we saw it sitting out in the bay in Moorea when we were driving around, mm-hmm. painting from Belvedere. He was painting that beautiful scene, and there was the ship. So we saw all of the islands from the islands and not so much from the sea. Mm-hmm. So this was a wholly different experience, to see it from the sea.
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
And during the time that we were touring the Society Islands, we chose to do water activities rather than land activities, because we'd been on the land and we wanted to see it from a different perspective. So that was an interesting way to do it too. But I can't say enough for the programs that they have from the ship for land trips. They're all wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them. You can either do water, you can do it from the water.
Uh-huh.
They take you snorkeling. They take you deep sea diving. They take you. We went on a wonderful dolphin adventure.
I didn't remember them offering that. Which island do you remember? Was
the
that
dolphin?
Any of them?
The dolphin adventure was with a really wonderful scientist who had done his master's and his doctorate degree in Moorea, and he spends his time just studying the dolphins. There's no interaction with them, so he just took us out in a boat. There were about 10 of us on this boat, and he took us out in the boat, and we kept driving around.
Was looking, it a small, looking, small, look, boat,
small boat
then,
yeah. Just looking for the dolphin, and we finally found them. And his whole theory is he knows every one of them by name.
Really?
Well, the interesting thing is that the dolphins all come into shore and during the daytime. At night, they go out to fish. And when they're out in the deep ocean, there are lots of sharks there.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who survive all have notched tail. Fins, dorsal fins. Because when a shark comes to attack them, they roll over on their back. And so they take bites out of the fin rather than their belly.
Wow. So I didn't realize the sharks were that dangerous to the...
There were two bleeders the day that we were there.
Sharks?
Dolphins. The
dolphins
who had been bit in the fin. But because of that, they all have, like our whales, where we
they have
identify
them marking
on the tails.
Yeah,
they identify them by their fins.
Wow.
And so he knew them all.
I remember I spent one day, I don't think it was Moorea. What's the other island before Moorea?
Bora Bora.
I think it was Bora Bora. There was an anthropologist who did a walk through they don't call them heiaus.
They come arise, and
you could start it at the top of the hill and you walk down. And it was very interesting seeing the difference. I mean, there were similarities, but they did feel different. And you walked on a trail down it. But he was, again, very, very informative.
I bet it was Mark Edales.
He's
wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He was great, wasn't he?
Incredible adventure that was with him. He was on this trip. He's just doing this trip now. He's not doing many of the others. But for this two-week trip, he gave, I think, 5 or 6 lectures on board. They were 2 hours long. Not a note in his hand. We were all sitting on the edge of our seat. It was so good.
He really knows his stuff.
He is so good.
Very good communicator.
He is. He's originally from New Zealand. He's lived in the Tahitian Islands for years. He knows it.
He knows his stuff.
He's a linguistic archaeologist.
It's the same one, yeah. Kind of a gray ponytail. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's him.
He looks like Mick Fleetwood.
He kind of does. Actually, I think he looks a little different, but there's a similarity.
Yeah, something about
very charming. And
he's a delightful man. And then he would take tours of the archaeological sites on each island.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the tours that were offered.
So
it was worth a trip just for Mark.
Yeah, and you know what I liked? I mean, it's hard to say, but the difference in service, I mean, I've done different cruises, but the last cruise I did on Oceania did not have the service I expected. But on the Paul Gauguin, the service was amazing, absolutely amazing.
And well, they were just awarded, and I don't know whether it's just this year. It's been many years, but it should have been many years, I'm sure.
This year, too.
The best mid-sized ship in the world.
Yeah. And I can't talk enough about the food either. Oh, my. Did you have some of those? They made peach soups and soups that were just cold soups and the things that, I mean, their lunches are, you know, sometimes lunches are kind of like, but their lunches were massive. I mean, you really, there's a whole huge buffet of desserts, a buffet of, I mean, it was like unbelievable.
Well, there are three restaurants on the ship. There's the L'Etoile, which is their French restaurant, which the food was, the menu was designed by a famous French chef whose name I can't think of right now, but the food is so French and so beautiful.
It is,
just,
yeah.
It's really an elegant dining experience.
It is.
Beautiful wine selections. They've got a wine captain. The other restaurant, one upstairs, it's more casual.
That's what I went to most.
It's called, well, it's like a bar. It's right around the pool. And
oh, no, that wasn't the one. And I went to the other one.
And then the other one was the veranda, which is the main dining room.
Yeah, that's where I was talking, yeah.
That one you didn't have to make a reservation for. But they're all, I mean, every one of them were just outstanding.
Well, the alcohol's included.
Everything, not just wine and dinner, but all the bar services.
Yeah, and we're not talking just like the cheap ones.
No.
I mean, you go to the entertainment at night, which is so nice. You're going there, and they come and they serve you alcohol while you're watching the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get that. And it's not like, I mean, I've gone, and you have too, I'm sure, on Celebrity. They have a huge theater. And Oceana doesn't, you know, I don't really go to much in Oceana because it's so late when they do their entertainment. But here it was like you were, it was like you were in a living room.
Mm-hmm.
It was round chairs, you know, very elegant but informal,
mm-hmm.
and you're really close, so you could see the people dancing, and then they bring you the drinks while you're doing it. So, and I mean, they were so nice. I was interested in the music because, you know, a lot of people think that the music in Tahiti would be like the music here in Hawaii, but it's different.
It's different. It's very different.
It's a different
and
sound.
The dance is different too.
So I mentioned to the sound guy, I said, "Gosh, I just love this music. I mean, I'd like to be able to maybe copy one or two songs." He says, "Hey, oh, give me a. You have a thumb drive?" I said, "Yeah." He downloaded all of his music onto my thumb drive, the Tahitian music.
Great.
And he wouldn't take any money for it. Oh, wow, that was really nice, you know. So,
yeah.
And the Tahitian music's happy music. It's very happy music.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of remind me of what I hear in Fiji. The Fijian music is very different too from Hawaiian music, but it kind of had that feeling. And the dancers, you know, again, we think, okay, hula is going to be hula. The dancing's different.
It is.
Than the
they use their arms differently. There's lots of sort of straight out arm movements. They're really beautiful.
They're taller, really beautiful. A little taller, and very lithe. Mm-hmm. And then I remember they had the ladies making lays down there, and then the mamas. Yeah.
They have what they call, I don't know what when you were on if they had these, but they're five or six young people, and they're all from the Marquesas.
The Gauguins.
Oh, and they're beautiful young people, and charming, delightful. They dance, they sing, they have workshops.
Help you with your bags.
They're there to do something. They're everywhere. They're helping to help you get onto the tender and off the tender. But they just are like your own kids, you know. I mean, you just love them, and they do all sorts of arts and crafts with people. There's so much to do on the boat all day long. Some people don't get off the boat.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. I mean, we had to get off. In fact, we were going to the Marquesas. This trip we chose specifically because we wanted to do the Marquesas. I mean,
I haven't been there yet.
That's the Marquesas are the ones who came to Hawaii. I mean, that's our beginning. And it's so remote. There are 6,000 people who live in all of those islands.
Only 6,000.
There are 30,000 of them who live in Papeete, but only 6,000 people left. And so the villages are very tiny. The islands are almost untouched. They're just spectacularly beautiful.
Did Ed do pictures?
We did. Yeah, he's painting. He's painting. But it was just rugged. I mean, you'd get in a four-seater truck and drive over these rugged roads through the
mud
hills
and
valleys.
The hills and the
fortunately,
trees.
Fortunately, there was no rain while we were there because I would not want to have been on those roads.
Mm-hmm.
But going back around into these very, very remote areas, it was really spectacular.
Yeah, and it's that I hadn't been to the Marquesas. So So what did you do? Because you had the, it was 14 days?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you did beyond the 7 days on the other islands.
Well, you start out from Papeete and you go directly up to the Marquesas. So there's about 5 days up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you come back. And then they go the rounds of the Society Islands and end back up in Papeete. You go to Huaheine, you go to Bora Bora, Moorea, and what was the other one? Ta'a.
And you do the Tuamotus, too.
And the Tuamotus, but you do the Tuamotus first. Initially.
Yeah. I mean, when I went, it was Raiatea. Yeah. But they're not doing Raiatea.
Well, not on this trip. I don't know.
I don't think they're doing it as much. I don't know what
they
happened.
They do Huaheine now.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't either. What's that like?
I love Huaheine.
Everybody
Ed and I
likes
love that.
It.
He painted a lot of paintings from there, and we stayed in this way out in the country, this little hotel. And it was very interesting because we took a drive, and they took us to that place. We didn't know it. I mean, they didn't know it.
The place where you stayed?
We looked at it and went, oh, my God, let's stand in front of the cottage that we stayed in.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
At that very place, when we were there 16 years ago, we were packing up, getting ready to go, and we heard this singing, and we looked out, and in the water, on horseback, were all of these young Tahitian kids.
Oh, gosh.
With no clothes on.
Wow.
I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, this is the most incredible picture has done a painting of
Paul
it, of
course. Wow. A Paul Gauguin experience, picture. Right?
Well, you probably sell it to the ship.
Yeah.
You feel like you are in Paul Gauguin land. I mean, yeah. It's just amazing. The people are so beautiful and so friendly. I mean, it's run by the French, but it's very Polynesian.
It is very Polynesian. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, gosh, why would you want to go to an island when you live on an island? Is what it's very different.
It is very different.
You know, you hear the French language and you see the people. And I mean, it's like so much less population.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in the colors.
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
I like colors, but the colors are very different.
Oh, yeah. And
very
the,
different
the water
there.
Is so mm-hmm. incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
One of our favorite things to do. It was in the morning, we would wake up just as the sun was rising, and so the sky was beautiful, and we would often be at sea at that point. And
did you get a balcony?
We had a balcony.
Oh, good.
And that's included in this price, you mm-hmm. know, you get a nice balcony room. We would call down for room service, and we would order baguettes and coffee and jam and butter.
And sit on the balcony.
And sit on the balcony.
And watch the beautiful colors of the morning.
And I found out, because I did a galley tour, that there is a French baker on board.
Oh, really?
And the flour comes from France. And so,
really?
Believe me, you feel like you're eating a French baguette
wow.
right in the heart
okay.
of France.
I did not know that. You really did some research into what you were doing there.
Oh, well, I love to cook, so it was really fun to get back into the galley and see it. They have, the chef is a sharp young German man who manages this whole, all three of these restaurants out of this big galley.
But they let you go and look at it.
Oh, yeah. They had tours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know
Gave
that.
Gave you champagne and the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you do, when you're down there, you feel like you're just completely in a world away. I mean, you don't feel like the stress of anything. You feel like you're completely can chill, right?
You are. Well, when you think of that expanse and all those beautiful islands and that few people there, you're really going to the end of the world. You
yeah.
know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Ed and I have spent a month in the Azores a few years ago on an art fellowship, and we were on those islands again, or sort of, you know, people are moving away, so there's like the island that we were on had 3,000 people. At one point it had 20,000.
Wow.
You know? But it's
where
just
are
sort of
the Azores
same
again? I know
well,
the
Azores are belong to Portugal, and they
oh,
are
okay.
about 2,500 miles into the Atlantic Ocean.
But I didn't know that their population had gone down. It's strange.
Oh, yeah.
So
particularly
did you have
on this
a
little island that we were. It was on the island of Flourish, and it was just beautiful, spectacular place. But, you know, it's just so remote. Nobody
did you
goes
rent
there.
A place?
Well, we were part of a, we were invited as an art fellowship, and so we had a house given to us.
How nice is that?
And, you know, we spent a month.
A month. Oh
yeah.
Gosh, that's
Took
amazing.
Our dogs
what
with
was that
us.
Like? What was that like?
It was amazing. It was beautiful. It was it was a very different experience. I mean, we really liked when we travel to go someplace and stay and become part of.
That's the best way to do it if you can. A lot of people can't take the time off from work to do that.
But this offered us that opportunity.
Yeah.
We got to know a lot of the people in the community. It was tiny, you know.
Did they choose the place for you to go, or did you choose?
No, it was chosen. It's an organization based actually of Azorian woman who lives in Boston, and she has got this organization that she's established for fellowships.
Did you apply as a grant?
And we applied. We applied. Mm-hmm. And we got accepted, and so
how nice is that?
Off.
How did you even find out about that?
Oh, it's always exploring places to go. We went to Hungary 1 year, and there's a couple of other places we'd like to do sometime.
What was Hungary like?
It's fabulous.
It's very beautiful
as well. It's very beautiful. We lived in an old school. Well, it's a schoolhouse now. It was an old castle at one point with eight other artists.
Wow. What a nice way to go.
It is a great way to go.
It really is.
It's hard.
Are you retired?
Well, we're not. We had another life. We had a life in advertising public relations for 30 years. But when we came to Maui, we started a new life, and that's Ed being a full-time artist. So, no, he's not retired.
No, I'm just wondering if you were.
No.
I know he's doing it. Are you? Yeah. Because you have to take care.
I run the business. Yes. He does the painting.
Well, you know what? It's a good business. Because. Yeah. So are you selling a lot of your work online then?
No, it's mostly locally. And
where do people see his work?
Oh, they find us. We've been, he's been painting here for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And he has
Do the people see the
following.
Work on Facebook?
He
mainly,
sees it online.
See online.
People see it online, and over the years we've been in a number of galleries. We are now only in one, and it's the Hana Gallery, Hana Coast Gallery out in Hana.
That's a beautiful gallery. I've been to that gallery. It's really nice.
It really is. But the rest of our sales we do directly. So.
So what's the website people go to find out?
EdLaneStudio.com.
Ed Lane Studio. That's spelled LANE.
That's correct.
.com. Mm-hmm. And because it is, see, I think travel is very inspiring that way. I take pictures by my iPhone.
Me too.
I do, there is so many inspirations. And I write. I like to write and I find myself writing different places I go to. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting how you do the energy and spirit of a place. It has different. There's different creative spirit. Mm-hmm. There's different creative light. There's different energy. Different places you go to. Mm-hmm. So
Absolutely.
When you're traveling, you get a different impression than you do when you're in one place.
And if you're writing or you're painting or you're sketching or whatever you're doing creatively at the moment, you've really captured it. If you try and recreate it a couple of weeks later, you've forgotten half of it, you know?
Yeah. And
you don't have that immediate,
it's
reaction.
It's different. And I know people that take photos and try to recreate from that, but it is different than when you're doing it there. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain what it is, but it's that creative spirit that's there. Some places, people swear there's more of a muse in certain places. In Ireland, where I just was, there was a very mysterious and interesting and the musical and I definitely felt that different vibe, in Ireland than other places I've gone to. Because, it feels so Druid ancient in some ways. It goes back, some of the sites I saw were 4,000 B.C., 4,000 B.C. The bones and you see these burial sites that you go to and you're like, wow. It's really it goes back. As far if it's not farther than Greece, but you don't think of Ireland, in that way of ruins, but there actually are. It's just they're not in the same style. Mm-hmm. But when you have a history like that goes back that far, there's history creates part of the energy of a place as well. So with that you can kind of get that feeling when you go to a place and stay in a castle like you stayed in a castle.
Yeah.
A castle is a different vibe than staying in a hotel room, right?
Oh, this castle had a big dark history because it had been used by the Nazis.
Oh my gosh! Had they taken it over and stayed there?
Yeah, at one point, and the Russians, and we had a Hungarian artist. He was actually had immigrated to the U.S., but he was back and part of our group. And he just had nightmares in that place. He said, feeling like I have to go to the basement, but I can't.
Wow.
Because it was used as a police station. So.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Well, even when I was staying in Greece, I was staying in one of the most famous ancient hotels built in the, well, it doesn't go back 1400. It was, I think, built in the 1800s, but the Nazis had taken it over, and they had stayed there, you know, and there was a bit of history like that, too. It had gone through a couple of wars. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it finally at one point got turned into a hospital, and they were using it. I mean, that was pretty common when there was big, big buildings, you know, and there was wars. You'd go through that. But, I mean, you think of places like Hungary and what they've gone through. It's like, my gosh, the history that they've gone through. And totally different effect on when you see the people. The people carry some of that history with them as well, you know. So that's a great experience that you could have.
We really enjoyed it. It's interesting because there was a divide between the young people and the older people who'd gone through, you know, had not had the freedom, and the young people who did. And
different attitude, right?
The older people were suspicious and didn't look at you, and you know, you just knew their history. You could feel it.
Then Prague, it was interesting because there's a heaviness there. They've gone through so much in Prague, of course, with the takeovers. And my father was born in Prague, and I had, when I went there the first time, it was like I could see a part of his attitude and personality actually was like what I was seeing in the people in Prague. Mm-hmm. And I never understood that till I went there, that was just part of his nature because that's the way it was. And he lost everything. They took the communists took over his, he had a villa with his sister and they totally took it over. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people there went through losing everything, you know, if they survived at all, you know. Prague's had so many hard things, but because it didn't get bombed in Prague, you're thinking of going in the future, I know. Mm-hmm. The architecture's just gorgeous because it didn't get completely ruined like some other places, you know. Mm-hmm. So, pretty much that way in Ireland, although there are lots of ruins, it didn't get damaged in other ways that other places in Europe did, you know. So I didn't know you'd gone on all these trips and had these exciting adventures, art adventures. What
well,
a wonderful.
It's been a real blessing for us.
Yeah.
It's been such a, we've become part of a community, and that's.
Stay friends with some of the people?
Yeah, we still correspond with several of them.
You know, it's interesting. They've done some studies, Kathy, and you always meet people, especially on cruises. But they did a study I read about, you know, how you make friends with people on cruises, and some of them you have dinners with every night. They said 90% of the people do not stay in touch with people they meet on cruises afterwards, which is kind of interesting.
We stay in touch with a lot of people that we've met when we travel.
I think you're good that way. Yeah. You stayed in touch with the friends in Egypt you made and the one guy you met at the hotel.
Just people that worked at a hotel in Amsterdam. we go and visit him now when we go there.
Yeah. No, that's nice when you can do that and comes back. Because a lot of people don't go back to a place once they've been there one time either. Mm-hmm. But you're planning to go back to Egypt next year or the year after?
2018.
Yeah. And you're going to be doing Portugal next year.
Mm-hmm. October of next year. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much you're doing and hosting that cruise, but you're pretty much sold out.
I'm escorting that. There, I believe there's a few cabins left. I didn't have a chance to check on that, but
that sold out within about a month after.
Pretty quickly,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the boat's small. It has about 50 cabins.
It's a Viking.
Viking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I haven't been on. I haven't been on a river cruise. I'm almost embarrassed to say I haven't
been
on.
Well, you have to go.
I do want to go. I would love to go to, you know, I wanted to go to Portugal, but I just didn't know what I was going to be doing next year.
Just put it on your calendar and stick
to
that.
I know, yeah, but things happen, it is. But you're going in, what, 2 weeks? You're going
the 12th.
On an Ama River cruise.
Mm-hmm, so I'm excited about that.
And that's going where?
We fly into Bucharest, and then we take the river boat from Bulgaria the Danube, and we end in Budapest. But we go through five countries.
Five countries, a lot. Mm-hmm. Should be beautiful. October's a good time to travel.
Probably a little chilly. But
I don't think it'll be. Yeah. You know, everyone said it's going to be so cold in Ireland. And, of course, I did wear my jacket. I brought my heavy jacket, and I brought some sweaters and things. But I liked it. And, you know, I was doing, you know, I don't know if you do this. I get the weather apps and I start checking weather. About 15 days out, I start checking the weather and what it's going to be like as far as that I can check. And it was predicting rain every day for all the time I was in Ireland. And it really wasn't bad. The first day was rain. And then it rained, I think, only one other day. And that was half a day. But so we got lucky. It didn't. But that, you know, it was interesting in Ireland. The hardest part and the stress was about driving. And there's lots of videos you can watch online about driving in Ireland for the first time. But it is stressful. Went into Shannon, and Shannon Airport, small. I mean, it's, you know it's going to be small, but it's small. It's a small little airport. And the car rental's right there in the airport, did Enterprise. But you know what? You get so nervous. Most places you go, your credit card will cover insurance, you know. But if you ever see insurance policies on credit cards, there's always a little asterisk and excluding Ireland. I mean, there's a good reason for that because the roads are so small. I mean, they're really small. Plus, you're disoriented driving on the left side of the road and everything. And you'll have sometimes these buses coming at you on what looks like a one-lane road. And they're coming. It's like, you got to get over there, which, you know, you do. But unfortunately, sometimes there's ditches right over there on the left side of the road because you're on the left side and you're going over and it's like, there's a ditch, don't go any further. It's like, what are you going to do? This bus is coming. So there was some stress with that. But I, one thing I did, I got the highest insurance and already had insurance and spent an extra $500. So the rental car for about 7 days was $1,000, which is pricey. But, you know, it's a different experience driving than it is taking a bus. And I mean, I'm with you also, Diane. I don't like to do tours if I don't have to. There's times, you know, you kind of have to. But I like to be an independent traveler. I like to be able to choose where I go, when I go, how long I'm going to go. So I didn't drive. John did, but he was really nervous. It was like the death grip on the steering wheel in the beginning. Honest to God, it was just, he was holding on. And I have to say, I screamed only once or twice, but he had this tendency, and I found it wasn't just him, that when you're driving on the right of the car, you tend to drive over to the left side more because your thinking is that you're on the left, although you're on the right. So and I guess it's pretty common that you give a little too much room on your side, the right side, because cars are coming right at you and you're on that side. So, I mean, it was like, okay, for a while it was like, ah. But after a couple of days, I knew it was getting better when he was driving with one hand, which took a few days. But that was like, okay, no death grip anymore. The first day we went to the Drumoulin Castle. Now, I'd heard about, there's lots of castles in Ireland. There's a ton of castles. But what these castles are doing, a lot of them are making money doing weddings. In fact, I found out the Drumoulin Castle had had two weddings the day before we got there. They'd had a wedding on, we got on Monday, they'd had a wedding on Saturday where they completely, 200 rooms, they completely sold out the entire hotel for this. It was a very famous fashion model. And they took over the whole hotel and did this wedding there. And then there was a wedding the next day too. So it was kind of cool because they brought in all these flowers and you could still smell these flowers. Weddings, a big business, I guess. You know, a few famous stars have gotten married in these Irish castles. So I was like, oh, let's get married in an Irish castle. It's so romantic. and it was, you know. Plus, the Drumoulin has like 300 acres. It's been around since the 1700s. And so you go and it's like, I mean, you drive in and you drive and you drive and you drive. I mean, it's about a 5-minute drive at least to get up to the castle. And I posted a lot of pictures on Facebook of the castle, but it's a real castle. It's not one of those little fake castles. It's a big castle, and it was really very, very nice. I have to say, it's lots of nooks and crannies, and you get lost walking to your room. I mean, I think it wasn't until the last day I was there. I was there 5 days, 4 days, and I mean, I was like, oh, I turned the wrong way, and I don't know where I'm going now. I have to go back and go the other way to find the room. But the gardens, oh my God, the gardens were gorgeous. I mean, flower gardens that were just so luscious and beautiful. And they had an artist create all these fairies. So, and there were probably about 40 different fairies, and they moved them around different days. And you have to discover them, they're kind of hidden. And some are life-size, you know, and then there's a little fairy at the bottom of trees sometimes. And so you felt this magical fairy. And, you know, fairies, you know, they exist in Ireland. I mean, they're just there. These fairies are there. And then they have these, they have a big golf course. So they have a whole separate building for the, and a club room for the golf area. And then they have a whole separate place for the people getting married. And it's, they do the carriage rides. You can do the carriage rides around the grounds and all that stuff, you know. I mean, there's a lot of that in Ireland. You really do see the horse and buggy, and they call them different things depending on which kind of carriage it is. So 4 days there, went one day up to Ashford, and I'd highly recommend it. It's a bit of a drive. It took like an hour and 45 minutes north, but Ashford Castle's amazing, amazing. And right below Ashford Castle is where they did a movie with John Wayne and Maureen O'Sullivan called The Quiet Man. And they have a statue, a life-size statue of John Wayne and Maureen O'Sullivan. But there's the Kong River, which is beautiful, and there's trails to walk everywhere. I mean, just gorgeous, gorgeous trails. And it's a charming, this is like those little villages, you think of Irish villages there in Kong, just below Ashford there. Literally maybe 5 minutes below the Ashford Castle. So really charming town, beautiful. And then coming back, went and had food in some of the pubs, which are really, the pubs are very comfortable. You know, you get the Guinness, or I didn't, but because I don't drink beer. But, you know, Guinness is so everywhere there. I mean, Guinness is all, every town you go in has big Guinness signs in front of the pubs. And so then one day went down to... they're down to the Shannon River and the Glenstill Abbey, where you can stay at the Glenstill Abbey. It's down south a bit. They even have these things called God Pods. You can do retreats there, but they can stay on the grounds. The Glenstill Abbey goes, again, back to the 1700s. And unfortunately, they were doing the whole chapel over, and you couldn't see it because they're under reconstruction. And then one day, I can't remember what we did the next day, but it went too fast. I mean, I you know, 4 days there were really, really nice. And boy, talk about breakfast, my gosh, the buffet breakfast. You eat too much. They give you, Irish butter's famous. I didn't know that. But Irish butter, I mean, they give you this Irish butter, which is like a super big deal because Irish, and all kinds of pastries and all kinds of fruit. And not only do you get the buffet, but then you can order anything off the menu for breakfast on top of that. And I was impressed because, I mean, the service was so good. And I saw a guy, you know, waiting tables and things. And I did an interview a couple days later. One of the guys clearing the tables off is the general manager. And he gets there at 7 in the morning, and he makes sure everything is perfect. I mean, they're really, really, really on the service. And really, it was excellent. So I really, really enjoyed the Drumoulin Castle. So that was the first day. And then on down, and by that time, thank God, after 4 days, you know, you kind of get used to getting around a little bit. And one thing I know, as much as I read about Ireland, no one says that the map is smaller than the place. Now, I mean, a lot of times you see maps and you think, oh my gosh, it looks so far away to go to this place, you know? I mean, I was thinking going from the County Clare, where Drumoulin's just really literally 15 minutes from the airport, the Shannon Airport. And that was one of the things I liked about it, because it was, you didn't have to drive far when you're getting used to driving. But to go down to Killarney wasn't, I thought it'd be like 4 hours. It looked so far down. Killarney's where the Ring of Kerry is there. But it really took just a little under 2 hours, which wasn't bad. And one thing I found, that the Google map was better than the thing in the car that Gremlins, the GPS was sucked. I mean, because it didn't know the places I wanted to go to. It didn't have the hotels in. So I landed doing Google Maps. And the only thing you have to watch out about in Google Maps is they try to give you the fastest route also. And sometimes the fastest route is not a big road. It can be a very small road that takes you across the country. And so it's like, where in the world are we? And I learned pretty quickly not to necessarily go by the fastest route. If you choose, it was better. So, but it also can get expensive doing the Google Map the whole time, which I did. It's like, I don't know if I should have done that again. So, because it gets expensive. But it was good because, I don't know if I always trust, but I did trust it after a while. The Google Maps was right on. Also went down to Dingle, went to the Killarney Lake Hotel. Oh, and after I get back, they sent me this offer today. So if anyone's thinking of going to Ireland, this is an amazing deal. You can go to the Lake Hotel Killarney, which goes back to the 1800s and the Queen stayed there and everything. And it's right on the lake, Killarney Lake. And they've got lots of acres. But they're offering in October, two persons, €299, and you can have a really nice dinner for that as well at their award-winning restaurant with a complimentary glass of wine, a pint of beer, or soft drink with that. So that's a good deal if you're thinking of going. I would recommend that. It was only there one night. They went over to the Muckross. The Muckross is next to a very famous Muckross hotel. Is next to a very famous park, Muckross, which goes with a house which has quite a history. It goes back centuries, you know, and I did the tour of that, and it was pretty interesting. Lots of places to hike. I mean, lots and tons of places to hike. Did that, went to the pub. One thing that was disappointing in Killarney, I don't know how to describe it, but you go into town, and it's like Airbnb, B&B, hotel. For miles, you see all of these hotels. So literally, all these places have decided to make a lot of money on the tourists coming in to there. So it was a little like, let's get out of here. But Muckross Park, very interesting. There's an old ruins of Abbey right by there. We did that. And what's near by Muckross, it's beautiful. The Torque Falls is not far from Muckross, and that was a gorgeous falls. I mean, you only have to walk about 10 minutes from the road, which was really, really nice. And went down to Dingle one day. Dingle was gorgeous. Dingle was beautiful. It's famous for that dolphin that plays out, and there's that Fungi, the dolphin in the harbor. I didn't go do that, but the town is music everywhere. And I'm going to run out of time. A beautiful town called Kenmare, which is a really charming old town and really lovely, and did that and enjoyed that. Drove over to Dublin, stayed at the West End, disappointed in the West End. The room was smaller than a cabin on a ship. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, they were like, it's €360 a night. It wasn't, you know, it did have a breakfast, but a lot. But and then it was supposed to be all paid for, and they took the credit card and then come back, and they didn't release the credit card. They charge you still. You know how they take your credit card in case you have incidentals? They keep a hold for weeks on your credit card, even after the bill's been paid and everything. Which is like, really? You're going to put a hold on the credit card? You know, I was like, really? Got to go to Temple Bar and do all that. I'm out of time. And you know what? We're going to go to the coverage of the debates. But I want to thank you, Diane. I want to thank you, Kathy. You can call Kathy at 244-1414. And thank you so much for coming in. We'll see you next week here on KAOI. Aloha.